Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis, your host. As a writer, speaker, and former legislator, we discuss limiting government, fiscal responsibility, and fair taxation. I'm a mother of seven and a wife of one for over three decades, so I bring you my personal experience. And now it's time for Homefront with Cynthia Davis.
It's another edition of Homefront. I'm so glad you could join us. And it is also Election Day. I hope all of you got a chance to go out and vote today, do your civic duty. When I went to vote, we had all of four questions on the ballot. It was very interesting. Two of them were tax increases, and, of course, that was no big thrill. But it was, actually, because my school district sent me a robocall, they sent me an email, and I also got a postcard in the mail. So you can imagine how exciting it was to be reminded of why we need to hold the line on taxes. I know that they were hoping that the goal would be to not have me vote for the bond issue, but, you know, it's like snowflakes. And for all of you who get my newsletter every week, tax increases are like snowflakes. It always seems like a little bit here and a little bit there, but pretty soon it's possible to have a complete avalanche. It accumulates, and when it accumulates, it can be more destructive than just a few cents or a half a cent. But nevertheless, we're here to talk about big government tonight. And I have a wonderful guest with us this evening. Joseph, are you with us?
Yes, I am, ma'am.
Hooray. Okay, let me get right into it because this is one of the most amazing stories that we've heard recently. We all knew that there was a problem with government becoming bigger and more intrusive, and that's not the right direction. Again, the more we vote for more taxes, more bureaucracies, more intervention, everything costs money. And we've created our own monster because we're the ones who elected the elected officials who then designed all these committees and bureaucrats who are turning around and harassing innocent citizens. And I was so inspired by your story on the video, the YouTube video, mm-hmm. where you explained. So let's start at the very beginning. And I love the idea of Morningland Dairy. Did you name the dairy, or was that already there?
No, that was, Morningland started about approximately 30-plus years ago by Jim and Marge Reiners. They started it with a dream and a hope of making a raw milk cheese, an actual raw milk cheese, with the milk only being heated to about 100 degrees, about back to the body temperature of the animal, the cow or the goat, whichever it comes from, whichever milk you're using. And they worked and built it, worked with the state of Missouri to set up what regulations were deemed necessary by the state. And as you stated, ma'am, we have a complication of we've permitted a monster to be created that now says it is king over us as compared to us providing, you know, us being the ruler and them being the servants. Anyway, Jim and Marge started it. They built it from scratch, word of mouth, and built up to a business. And they, after 28 years, wanted to retire. And so we came in. My wife learned everything, and we bought the business from them in 2008. Jim and Marge moved about 3 miles away and became, I guess you could say, the grandparents at that point in time, because if we had questions or needed help, they would come right over and help us out and help answer any questions we had or work with us. So that's the way Morningland got started.
Nice. Well, why raw milk? Why raw cheese? What's the point behind that?
Raw milk has all the natural enzymes and bacteria that that the body needs to build a healthy immune system. Without an immune system, we don't have any life in us. And that's what we're running into in this nation. Everything is becoming so refined and so cooked and so controlled that our immune systems are starting to disappear. And the governments, through the bureaucracies, have such tentacles that the FDA has even put in court documents that we do not have the right to choose what we eat. A judge in Minnesota or Wisconsin won in a court ruling stated a man did not have the right to drink the milk from his own cow.
That's pretty rough. My sister was a missionary over in the deepest, darkest Africa. She was in the jungle. It was Zaire, which is right in the center, and it now is called the Congo. But when she was living there, and we're talking major third world country, they did not have common colds like we had. Now, it's true that they had no access to Kleenex, so if you can't blow your nose on a nice lotiony tissue, what good is that? But you know what? It amazed her that here they are, no sanitation. They lived with no refrigerator. Yeah. And in our lifestyle, you're like, whoa, you would die of food poisoning. But there is a way that other cultures have endured. And furthermore, the proof is that our civilization, I mean, human beings could not have survived the last 6,000 years if it were not for our body's ability to live without refrigerators.
Yes.
So going back to your story, let me ask you, you had a job doing what before
I had a job working construction, doing electric work on the road, and that's one reason we bought the business. For one thing, my wife and I have 12 children. I grew up on raw cow's milk, and I'm still alive. My children grew up on raw cow's milk, and all of them are still alive. My children, except for the two oldest who were born in the hospital, have had no vaccination shots. And most of them have not seen a doctor. And my youngest is now 13. All the other ones, we have two still at home. And all of them are still alive. And by today's standards of the FDA, the USDA, the federal government, the state governments, they shouldn't be alive. So, like you stated, when your sister was in Zaire, now the Congo, our bodies live in a natural environment. We have to have the natural environment to build an immune system to be able to withstand anything and everything that is in that environment. And the in Zaire, I'm sure they had some way of holding the milk or holding the milk product, whether it's in cheese or some form, to curdle it or something, which actually built up more good bacteria in the milk. And so our concern and our hope was to continue on the cheese plant. We were starting to expand, and we had people that bought our cheese that had immune deficiencies. The FDA has four pathogens they call pathogens that there is a zero tolerance for. And in the real world, there's no such thing as zero. You can't find zero in the environment. You can't find zero of anything. And our story got started with the raid on Rawson Foods in California, and the people at Rawson Foods actually signed a paper saying they wanted trace amounts of these bacteria, including the ones the FDA calls pathogens, in order to maintain a healthy immune system. And we believe, our thoughts are, and opinion is, that this is one of the things that the state and federal governments and the corporations do not want, such as Monsanto and the big drug companies, because my children, not seen a doctor, according to their terms, should not be alive today. But yet They still are, and they're healthy. And most of them living very productive lifestyles, the ones that are away from home. So it's amazing to us, you know, that as you stated, the bureaucracies are building such a octopus of tyranny where they reach into every part of your life, every facet, and
so
try to control you.
How many pounds of cheese did your operation sell per year?
We sold probably around 80 to 90,000 pounds a year.
And who were your customers?
Our customers were average people and also health food stores. People who, as I stated earlier, had immune deficiency problems. One lady, she said, "Thank you for making your cheese because now I can finally eat cheese again." Because it had the natural enzymes and bacteria, but it actually helps you digest it in your system. So it actually helps build you.
How much would you sell a pound of cheese for?
We sold our cheese. Our cow cheese went for anywhere from $5.15 a pound on up to around $6 to $7 a pound, depending on what type.
And how much did you sell the goat cheese for?
It was somewhere around $7 to $8 a pound, I believe. And the reason if you go to the stores, it's much higher. We've tried our best to keep the prices down so the average family could afford to buy the cheese we were making. And we had a state inspector, a federal inspector. They came in once a year and inspected everything. When Rawsum got raided, 55 days after Rawsum got raided, the state of California said they tested our cheese after 55 days. And said they found a detection of Listeria and a detection of Staph aureus potentially in our cheese. A detection means the possibility of. This is raw milk cheese. And Staph aureus is not harmful to humans, so Staph aureus is not regulated in the state of Missouri. But yet it was one of the things we got condemned for. And, you know, anytime you have a product, you know, and Listeria is in the environment everywhere. Our state inspector even told us when he came in and they put the embargo letter on our door, he said, "We can find this Listeria anywhere we look for if we just look hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the trees, it's on your skin, but yet you have zero tolerance for any of it in cheese."
So your wife got a scholarship to go to a conference out in California. And what kind of conference was this?
Well, it was in Seattle, Washington, and it was through the American Cheese Society, and she'd won a scholarship to go. It's actually the first vacation we had taken in many years together, just her and I. And while we were out there, that's when we got the word from the state of Missouri that they were coming in because of the letter that was sent, the information was sent from California, and the FDA was coming in. So we ended up having to pack up and leave and head back home ASAP, and we drove as much through the night as we could for the next two and a half days to get home to central Missouri, south central Missouri, and to meet with the state inspectors and FDA.
Was the conference almost over?
No, it had just begun, so we had to pack up and leave.
Oh, for goodness. And you drove all the way to Seattle?
Yes.
So you got home and you found what on your doorstep?
An embargo letter was on the door of the cheese house, which states that you cannot take anything out of the cooler. And because it's under embargo by the state of Missouri, and until they approved or disapproved, it was to be locked up under house arrest, you might as well say, until they decide what was to be done with it.
So they locked up all your cheese.
Yes.
And you got back and you had to meet with was this the FDA inspector?
The FDA sent three agents in. We had two state inspectors there. And the FDA commenced to do 99 swabs. They're supposed to do, we think, 100 swabs, but apparently only 99 made it for some reason. Swabs of the cheese plant and the dairy. They went down the drains in the dairy. They went underneath concrete in the cheese plant. They went down drains in the cheese plant. They went underneath concrete in the cheese plant and about 6-inch long swabs and put them in containers and sent them off to their labs. We ended up having to dump milk for 5 weeks straight until we got permission to start even to sell it to the normal channels to be pasteurized until the FDA did, we got swabs back from the FDA. Now, another small cheese plant, as our cheese was being destroyed, another small cheese plant in northwestern Missouri, Raw Milk Cheese Plant, was under embargo also and had just been cleared of their embargo. We had to, everything we had to be destroyed because no matter what we did, they said it was all suspect. We even asked the state inspector, if we tested a 40-pound block of cheese up to 100 times and it came back clean every time, came back safe every time, could we sell that block of cheese? He said no, because it would still be suspect. At that point, I looked at the state inspector and said, in other words, Don, you're telling me you don't trust your own system. Because if it was tested even up to 100 times and each time came back safe, why wouldn't we be able to sell it? He said, well, it would still be suspect. Now, think about that. Think about the tyranny involved in that. They're telling you right there they don't trust their own regulations. They don't trust their own testing. And to say that, the state never did any testing of our cheese. The state or federal government, either one, the state refused to do any testing of our cheese. They said they didn't have the funds to test it.
Okay, does not the burden of proof shift to the state to prove that there's a problem?
Believe it or not, no, it does not under regulation. That's one of the loopholes they use. Under regulation, you have to prove you're innocent.
Okay, if you got pulled over for speeding, the police officer would provide his own equipment, his radar gun, and provide proof that you were speeding. That's the proof. They wouldn't ask you to prove that you were not speeding.
Well, when you are under regulation, and when you get a license to produce a product, you are under regulation. The burden of proof then becomes yours to prove that you're innocent.
Okay, so you're saying somebody can accuse you of something arbitrarily, and then it's your job to prove that it's not true. So you did your own testing of the cheese at your own expense?
We sent 14 samples off of our cheese to prove that it was safe. It came back with the detection of Listeria and Staph aureus. Staph aureus, as I said, in the state of Missouri is not regulated. That is sworn testimony of Don Falls of the State Milk Board. Okay, Listeria is a zero tolerance, and we're now going through channels with the labs to find out if they even followed FDA rules and regulations. We're not sure they did. We don't know for sure yet. But when it was tested, we asked them to go further with the testing. The state refused. They said we would have to do more testing. The cheese that we sent in was not tested with a trier. A trier, because my wife and I were not there. This was on a Friday morning while we were trying to drive back. And we authorized our cheese plant manager to do a test, to send some pieces off to have it tested. Now, that said, when you have a zero tolerance, like I said, there's no such thing as zero. You have to remember, there hadn't been one single illness, one single complaint of our cheese in approximately 30 years.
So okay? The zero tolerance is a law that's a federal government or state government?
It is federal, but most states now say they follow all rules of the FDA. Rules and regulations, okay?
So we have the federal government defining standards for Missouri.
Yes, and it is our opinion and our belief at this point in time that the federal government, the agencies of the federal government, actually send funds to the state governments to control the population under these ways. Now, where you said we had to prove we were innocent, or we said we had to prove we were innocent, in court they called in a USDA agent, and she said the state has broad powers to do what they deem necessary to do, to, quote, protect the public. Those broad powers, we were told by our attorneys that means they have the right of kings. In other words, They say what is, and you have to prove it is not. How do you prove? And the Attorney General of Missouri's office represented the state milk board in court against us. How do you prove that something will never harm someone, any place, anywhere, anytime from now on?
You can't. That's like that, proving that you know that you'll never be in a car accident. You can't predict the future.
Well, see, once we made the cheese, even though some of the cheese that was in the rate of Rawson Foods, we did not sell to Rawson Foods. It had our label on it. It may have been our cheese, but we didn't sell it to Rawson Foods, so we don't know what channels it came from. We are, quote, still liable for that product until it is totally consumed, no matter when that is. Think about that. We had a pathologist and a doctor testify in court, and he stated, they asked him, said, with, and I appreciated the way he stated this. They asked him, would you eat this cheese? He said, yes, I would. He said, would you have any problem eating? He said, no, I would not. He said, they asked him, they said, okay, can you say that this cheese will never harm anybody, any place, anywhere from now on? Now, I am paraphrasing that statement, okay? It's not a direct quote. He stated under oath, he said, with the testing that's been done on this cheese at this point in time, he said, the only one I know it could maybe harm, maybe hurt, would be the Bubble Babies of the 60s. And, ma'am, I don't know if you remember or not, but the Bubble Babies
Bubble Babies? Yeah.
They were the ones who had no immune system whatsoever. So they actually lived in kind of a bubble in order to keep the total environment away from them. Everything had to be sterile before it was given to them. And with today's system, if you listen to the FDA, the USDA, they have what they call good farming practices. Well, good farming practices give us Monsanto, give us all the corporate foods, gives us McDonald's, gives us all these things that, believe it or not, are pretty well sterile. And our land is now becoming sterile, if that makes any sense to you. In other words, the land, because of all the chemicals being thrown at it, basically has no earthworms anymore, no bacteria in it anymore. So it is becoming sterile. So our food cannot absorb from the soil what it needs, because these bacteria and everything break the soil down so it can be absorbed by the plants, what it needs in order to make a balanced food for us. And imagine the FDA come in saying the American people do not have the right to choose what they eat. And as you commented earlier, the pasteurization process has not been around, but I believe around 80-plus years probably, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, people still lived, did they not? And
yes.
Many of them lived to a very old age, depending upon the time in society in which they lived.
Well, what about Abraham Lincoln's mother? It said in the history books that she died of milk poisoning.
Well, you can get poisoning from any food, depending upon how that food's taken care of.
Right.
And if you think about it, it does depend upon how the food is taken care of. And where you commented about your sister being in Zaire, how many people there died of milk poisoning?
Well, you always hear about the potato salad that got left out at the picnic too long.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, these things do happen.
Mm-hmm.
These things do happen, but that's where we have to know, and our parents have to teach us, because schools will not, how to take care of what you're eating. That's where with my family, my children know how to take care of what they're eating.
Are you familiar with Joel Salatin?
Yes, I am.
He wrote a book called Everything I Want to Do is Illegal. And mm-hmm. I love the premise behind it because it does raise the same question. My daughter actually went out to his farm on a couple occasions and studied their rotational methods and how mm-hmm. they have everything all organized so that, you know, it's very natural the way they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it seems like American farming methods are still dependent on getting the maximum production possible out of each square inch of the farm, and efficiency is everything, which is surprising considering that our government pays farmers to not grow things still.
Well, we have a system that counters itself on all sides. We look at life as we attempt to follow biblical law. And what I mean by that is it tells us how to take care of the soil, to be good stewards of the soil. If the soil cannot produce good nutrition for the plants, and Joel Salatin's place, if your daughter has been there, she might have heard him speak about when his father bought the place in the early 60s, it was eroded away. And with the rotational grazing practices that he has put into place there, they actually have topsoil now in places 8 inches plus deep. Now, and he has all kinds of earthworms, and everything is back in the soil now, and the animals are a lot healthier. And he also has, I believe he said he built lakes and ponds up on the mountainsides, and he has natural flowing water to all of his fields, so the animals stay out in the field. The animals actually live on the field. They live on the earth instead of concrete, as a lot of places do. And if you think about the feedlots, I'm sure most people that are listening have seen pictures of feedlots where cattle have been brought in, and they stand in their small contained areas. When areas like that, you're going to spread more things to where, quote, they're going to want to vaccinate the animals and everything else. But if they're out in the natural environment, ma'am, what area do you live in?
I live near St. Louis.
Okay, how many deer do you have around?
Well, I did one time. I've lived here for probably 18 years, and one time I saw one in my backyard.
And if you go out in the countryside, how many do you find along the interstates that have been killed by automobiles and everything? Because the deer turkey population, and it is booming. It's skyrocketing. And so now they're bringing in, quote, coyotes to try to eat some of them out. And in doing so, are these deer and turkey vaccinated?
I'm sure not.
That's what I'm getting at. They are not. So, you know, that explains a lot. Now, to get back to the cheese, whenever the state came in after a two-year battle to try to fight to actually get tests done on the cheese, plus to get the cheese out of jail, when the state came in, there were about 30 to 40 people there, possibly up to 50, that were protesting the state coming in. The state ended up calling in the sheriff's department and the state patrol.
Who's your sheriff down there?
I forget what his name is. Like, I'm
is
right
he
now talking.
Is your sheriff elected?
Yes, ma'am. And a lot of people have talked to him and brought things up. Now, I will not complain too much at the sheriff at the point at which this got to, because we did, quote, have our day in court, as one state representative said, state senator said, Mike Cunningham. He said, you had your day in court. Well, if you have your day in court, and when the FDA does 99 swabs and they all come back clean, that's not allowed to be in evidence in court because it's federal, not state. You tell me what's going on.
I don't understand how they can deny you your right to keep your cheese if the evidence shows that it was okay.
The only tests that were done were our own. There was not done with a trier, which is where you take a cylinder and add your alcohol off the outside of the cheese, and you stick it in there, pull a plug out, and test only the cheese.
What kind of court system was this that you went to that didn't let you use a trier?
Well, the state said they wouldn't use the trier. Now, that said, in the case in Northwest Missouri, up there, they used a trier on their cheese. And they were only under embargo for 3 weeks. And they did not have to dump milk at all, as we had to dump milk. So we believe our case has helped out other cheese plants as far as that goes. But it shows you the two different ways that it was handled by the state milk board. And whenever you go to court, and we said we want trial by jury, we were denied trial by jury. You know why? Because they said it was regulation. It was under contract. Since it's under contract, your license, you forfeit, quote, your right to trial by jury. Think about that. See, these are things.
Yeah, but
people
they were harming you. They were harming you personally.
That didn't matter at that point to the judge. See, the judge is paid through taxation. I call it tribute. The milk board is paid through taxation, tribute. The attorney general's office is paid through taxation, tribute. The state of Missouri has approximately 6 million people in it that the state can draw taxation, tribute from. I had 65 cows to defend myself with, along with the Farmers and Consumers Legal Defense Fund, which we joined in order to get some defense because everything we had was locked up. And they basically bankrupted us almost immediately when they shut everything down and said, you know, we couldn't do anything with our cheese. We weren't even allowed to eat our own cheese. Think about it. We said, oh, no. Now,
how come you couldn't, like, they put a lock on the door and you couldn't get in there?
No, they did not. They put an embargo letter on the door, and it was up to us whether we broke it or obeyed it. And under today's system, if you break something like that, once it is already there, then it is a criminal charge as compared to a civil charge. And we already had the battle of civil going on. We couldn't afford. There's only so many battles you can fight at one time. We had people that said, we would like to come and take your cheese. I said, leave it there, because this is a battle that needs to wake people up. If we do not wake up to, we are the ones that elected these people. We are the ones that put these people in office that appoint these bureaucracies, such as the Milk Board, FDA, USDA, all these branches of, quote, government over us that write all these regulations that are not voted on.
Well, yeah, but there are people who are office holders that you did vote for. And those office holders should have come to your rescue and said, if there's a problem with our laws that are making a hardship on our constituents, maybe we need to settle them down. And I've done that. I was in the Missouri State Legislature for 8 years. And unfortunately, we have some overzealous children's division employees who would like to make examples out of innocent citizens, and really we should all be very concerned about keeping our right to raise our children, because that is another example of a bureaucracy that has interfered with parental obligation to raise their own children. And so when people have had trouble navigating through the system, then it is appropriate for their elected representatives to get involved and try and make sure everybody's playing fair and right. And if the laws are wrong, we need to correct them.
Well, since we have in the state of Missouri term limits, I was told by our state representatives in Jefferson City, I've been up there twice now, I need to go more.
Is that Ward Franz? Is that Ward Franz? Who was your representative?
No, our state representative is Sean Rhodes. He's from West Plains.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
But I met with others. I've met with one from up in your area and others around the state. And they say that they are stonewalled a lot of times by these bureaucracies, because with term limits, they know they can outweigh them and keep their jobs. So the state is working on areas of attempting to where every 6 years all the regulations have to be justified while they're needed, while they're still necessary by these agencies. Now, when these agencies have the right of kings, think about that. That's what we're told. In this country, we fought a war with England to get rid of kings, and now we've placed them, we permitted them to be placed over us again through these bureaucracies.
I would agree with you on the term limits, because when I was in my last term, there was a crisis in St. Charles County, and one of my constituents was in desperate need of a legal opinion from the Attorney General. And it says right there, as clear as can be in the state statutes, that that is the duty of the Attorney General to provide legal opinions for members of the General Assembly. So when I requested a legal opinion, I was completely ignored. And there were many other representatives that asked the Attorney General, Chris Koster, if he would give us a legal opinion, and he did not. So he reneged on his duty because he knew it's my last term and I'll be gone before he will. And you know what? Sadly, I had no recourse. He won out in that. That's true.
And see, that's what I've been told. So some of the representatives that are up there now on their first term are trying to get these things through before it is their last term. Now, on our chief, to tell you how insincere the State Milk Board was, and I consider still is, they under oath, they testified that our cheese was not fit to be sold for dog food. Now remember, not one single illness, not one single complaint on our cheese, and zero tolerance. In Europe, they have to have so many colony-forming groups before it is considered to be a problem. That is when you actually will test something. That's when you actually look at something and see if something is really there. But in America, with zero tolerance, from what I have seen, is that people and groups and businesses will not test because they know they'll find something there if they do test. Do you understand what I'm saying? So
you're saying that if they keep testing, they'll find some kind of strain of something that's not supposed to be there?
Okay. That's correct. Now, and so there is no proper testing in the United States because of that. And if you're someone, you know, we were getting ready to start, we were expanding, we were selling across the United States. We had told people we were starting to help other people start up small little cheese plants in order to be sustainable, not UN sustainable, but sustainable in your community, to be able to actually produce a product in your community again to be sold within your community, closer to home. We believe, it's our opinion, that we were also targeted because of that, because the big corporations do not want competition. How do you cut out competition? You do it through regulation. How many small businesses can handle all the regulation that's being thrown at them? So, you know, you go down that route. Now, to show how, in my opinion, insincere the Milk Board was and still is, in my opinion, when they came out to destroy the cheese after approximately two and a half years, some of the cheese was, by that time, two and a half to 3 years old. And the Colby was shown its age, because Colby is the cheese to be eaten within 6 months or so. And this cheese has to age for 60 days before we're even allowed to sell it, okay? Because that was the rule for raw milk cheese, because the good bacteria helps cancel out the bad bacteria that could be in it, okay? So now, they came in on January the 25th, I believe was the day. I made sure I was there. My wife was there and other people were there. Part of my family was there. The rest of them had other things they had to do. They had to go to work. They couldn't afford to miss work, as a lot of us came out today. They came in and they started loading up the cheese. Now, you remember, in court, they took me to court and sued us in court, and we were not allowed trial by jury. The judge, and we had to prove we were innocent. As we talked about earlier, how do you prove you're innocent of something that will never harm anybody from now on? So when they came in and started destroying the cheese, they hauled dumpsters in, and they took off 36,400 pounds of cheese. They carried it out of their, and like I said, they were not allowed to use it. We were not even allowed to consider to use it for dog food, okay?
Because I bet the dogs would have liked it, though.
Well, they said we might contaminate the dog food plant. Think about this. They come in 2.5 years later. And like I said, not with no single illness or nothing. Think about it. They come in 2.5 years later after it was embargoed. Some of the cheese right at 3 years old. And if that cheese was so bad 2.5 years earlier in court, they came in with their street clothes on, regular clothes. Some of them had cloth gloves. A couple of them didn't have any gloves. And handled this, quote, cheese that was so dangerous we couldn't sell it for dog food, to be ultra-pasteurized.
You would have expected them to come in wearing moon suits.
That is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I was going to tell you about dog food, because there actually was a dog food plant in my community, O'Fallon, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the problem it caused. They would take the meat and purposely let it rot. And the neighbors were complaining about the odor, and the managers of the dog food plant tried to explain to us, the elected officials, that dogs really love it when the meat gets rotten. The more rotten it is, the more they like it.
That's kind of what I'm saying. And what do you think was in all that as it, quote, rotted? You know. Now, this is what they told under oath in court to convince the judge how dangerous my cheese was, okay? Now, they handled it with street clothes, their regular shoes, cloth gloves, some no gloves. And 70+% of the cheese still looked really good. But there was some packages, it's packaged in plastic, it's not in cloth, it's in plastic. So as the cheese ages, especially the Kobe, the whey still comes out of it. And some of the bags had come open. And but see, you got to remember, I wasn't allowed to go in there and clean the cheese room. I wasn't allowed to go in there and repackage when something came open. It sit for 2.5 years. Imagine your refrigerator sitting for 2.5 years, still being on, still being refrigerated. But imagine coming back to it 2.5 years later, and what would it be like? Our cheese room still looked pretty good. And our cheese, like I said, 70+% of it still looked really good. People there that were protesting said, I'd like to take some at home with me. But they said, oh, no, you can't do that. Uh-uh. But they handled it that way. And when it got down to the very last there, and some of the rougher-looking cheese was coming out with the whey coming out of it and the back open, they got that whey on their clothes. So if 2.5 years earlier in court, that cheese was so dangerous when they put them 2.5 years ago when they put the embargo letter on the door. That cheese was so dangerous. What would it have been 2.5 years later?
Do you use artificial food coloring in your Colby cheese?
No, there's nothing artificial in our cheese. All that was there was the cow's milk, a vegetable rennet, and a starter, which is a bacteria, and sea salt. That's all. Nothing else.
So what color is your Colby cheese?
The color of the cheese was, because we're no longer in business. We shut down because the state put such regulations on us because we questioned them. We questioned them and tried to bring things to the forefront that, in our opinion, they did not want out there. It was just the color. It was that's the color of butter. It would be a good example. But now, these state inspectors, they then got back in their state vehicles with this whey juice on their clothes. After them swearing under oath 2 years earlier that this cheese was so bad we couldn't sell it for dog food, they then turn around, get in their state vehicles, and then the next business day, they go inspect other plants. So do you think they sanitized the inside of their vehicles before they went? You understand what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, what you're saying is that we have a problem with people who might be trying to settle a private prejudice and using the iron fist of the state to do it. And so innocent people are being harmed, and you particularly had about $275,000 worth of your property confiscated without due process. And that should concern all of us, because the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution said you are not to be searched or your property seized without your due process and without a search warrant and without them being able to prove their point. I mean, they didn't have a search warrant signed by a judge saying that there's reasonable proof that you've committed a crime, yet they could take your property. I mean, we should all be outraged over it, and I appreciate you taking the time to tell your story. So did they actually put dye in your milk lines to make sure you weren't going to – what did you do? Cows were used to being milked every day. What happened to the cows?
We had to dump milk for 5 weeks straight. And believe it or not, now let me finish the story about the cheese where they disposed of it. They brought dumpsters in on rollbacks, which is a big truck with a dumpster that rolls off the truck.
Mm-hmm.
As before the last dumpster left, the state milk board was still there, the state patrol was still there, the sheriff's department was still there. People were out there picking this cheese up, looking at it, filling up it with their fingers. A child actually played on the dumpster and picked the cheese up and fell out of it. But these state officials watching, if our cheese was so bad, you tell me what was going on with them, handling it with their bare hands, getting it on their clothes, getting in their state vehicles. There's something not right here. There's something they're not, you know, it's like you've commented. If they were serious about what they testified under oath 2 years earlier, they would have been there in moon suits if they were really serious. So how serious were they? How much did they tell the truth in court? You know, these are my opinions and thoughts here.
You sold raw milk also directly from your farm?
No, we did not.
You used it all for cheese making?
Yes, we did. And we also bought goat milk from two other producers and brought it in and made goat cheese. And they've cost the state, this case has cost us, me and my wife, over $500,000 to this point of actual assets, let alone all the time involved and all the travel and all the expenses of talking to people and trying to get people aware of what's happening to their food supply. And you asked about the milk. We had to dump milk for 5 weeks straight. Since we had to do that, we sold 16 cows. When we sold those 16 cows, my wife in the deposition stated we sold 16 cows in order to pay the bills because everything we had was locked up. We couldn't sell any cheese or anything. So when we sold the 16 cows, my wife stated under oath, we sold them because we needed to pay the bills. When she got into court on the stand, the Attorney General's attorney said, you sold those 16 cows because they were sick. My wife said, no, we did not sell those 16 cows because they were sick. We sold them because we had no choice. We had to pay the bills. Do you know the judge ruled we had sick cows?
Unbelievable.
Think
I'm
about
so
it.
Sorry. Yeah, that's and so what was that judge's name?
Judge Dunlap. I believe his first name was David. I'm not sure.
Is Judge Dunlap elected? Is he elected or is he appointed?
I don't know. He's retired now. And two working days before court, they traded judges. They also brought in one more witness 2 working days before court that our attorneys couldn't even get a deposition from, which was allowed in court. We were denied trial by jury in the United States of America. So where are we in this country today? What has happened to us? Our people have not stood up and said no. Our people have not stood up and said we, you are to represent us, not us represent you. We elected these state officials. You said you were elected, but you found out what happens to you in the bureaucracy, that these agencies don't care because they know that you can be outweighed. I'm not saying we shouldn't have term limits. That's not what I'm saying. But these bureaucracies have to be held accountable, and that's what we've tried to do. We've tried to bring these things to the forefront to hold them accountable for what's been going on and what continues to go on in this country while we still have a country left.
Of course.
I think, pardon me?
Yeah, I mean, the question is not even just about your farm, but what farm
no.
is next?
My farm is just a little point of an arrow. and we've asked other people. We're willing to be that point of the arrow and bring these things out, but we do need other people's help to do so. You know, I would like to be off the road, actually be there and going through this and bringing all these things to the forefront more. But right now I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. That's where I'm talking to you from, to make sure my family can, to pay my bills, to pay the bills of the cheese plant, you know, where we still owe some, and to make sure that we eat. So my wife's fighting the battle to try to keep it going, try to get people aware. We have other people volunteering some to take through some of the information to try to bring it to the forefront more. There are some good state representatives in Jefferson City that we've talked to. A lot of them are there, been there short, you know, just got elected this last term. And they are trying to change things. But it takes the people behind them to help make it change. Instead of the representative, Mike Cunningham, the state senator of our district, he said we had our day in court. The state put out a timeline to the representatives in Jefferson City. And I don't know if they sent it out to all of them or not, but we did. On their timeline, it showed how they portrayed us as being so bad. And you read the timeline, and I've told people, read the timeline without our answer to the timeline, and consider me a bad person. Then read our response to the timeline with the timeline. And you can see what's really going on. You can see that they cannot stand the light of day on them. And we're still trying to put the light of day, because we are just a little tiny, minute piece of what's really happening to this country. And at the state level, we at least have a chance to change it, because the sheriff is the ultimate power in your county, not the federal government and not the state government.
So what could your sheriff have done differently?
At the point he was called, I cannot complain at him for what he did do. But because we had gone to court and we'd exhausted all the way to the Supreme Court of Missouri, and it was quite interesting to me. I went and visited the Attorney General's office on one of my visits to Jefferson City, and the state Supreme Court is in the same building as the Attorney General's office is in. So it's very easy for them to talk to each other and socialize with each other. So it's interesting to me that the Supreme Court refused to even look at the case. They said, nope, you've had your day in court, that's it. And we brought up the point of no trial by jury. It didn't matter because it's under regulation. Since we were licensed, we didn't have the right to trial by jury because of regulation. Since when did we forfeit our right to trial by jury? Because the state controls you conducting business. You have to get a license to do everything now? Think about it.
Well, you know what? I knew that was a problem, because the Division of Family Services can terminate parental rights without a trial by jury.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they are a bureaucratic entity. And until the people stand up and say, we demand that you correct this, and you know, when you said this saga began 2.5 years ago, I was still in office back then, and I didn't hear anything about this. And people thought when they voted for term limits that they were going to get out the bad people they didn't like. But what they didn't realize is term limits sweep out the good and the bad in equal numbers.
Yes.
And how do you know? Right. Sometimes it might sweep out a bad person who's replaced by another bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And what if it sweeps out a good person who's replaced by a bad person? Then it becomes a net loss. And this mm-hmm. is why I keep my website up. This is why I continue to send a newsletter out every Tuesday. This is mm-hmm. why I make myself open and available, because it's not enough for us to just shake our hands off and shake the dust off our feet and then say, well, then forget it. We have an obligation to stand up for our brothers and sisters and stand together and say that's not going to happen. And the other problem with term limits is the newbies coming in are going to take a couple years just to get up to speed. It took
yeah.
me 8 years to understand all that I needed to know about the power vested in the legislature and what is constitutional, what is something we can take care of? Is there another way we can fix it? Because you're right. I remember the first time, the first term I got elected, and I asked one of the other representatives a question about something, and I was ready to go clean up the mess and fix all the wrongs in the world. And I was told, no, it can't be done. Well, the longer I was there, the more I found out, oh, yes, it can be done.
Yeah.
So they were preying on our youth and inexperience to try and dupe us. I mean, there's something seriously wrong. And until we can get things back under control, I fear for the rest of the farmers in Missouri, because we are headed. If they could get away with this one, it makes you wonder what else can they get away with. It's going to get worse. If they could do this to you, what's going to happen to the next person?
We had people in court that showed up as spectators to watch. And they said, after it was over with, they said, if they can do this to you, they can do it to anybody. Because you having to prove you're innocent is almost an impossible thing to do. Give you an example how bad it can get. My wife and I, with some of the people that was left of our original customers, we started what was called a private association, which is private. It has nothing to do with state or federal government overall. We bought cheese from other cheese plants. That was raw milk cheese. They were licensed the same as we were. We bought it. We brought it to another place. We cut it. We just cut it down in smaller pieces, wrapped it, and sold it, passed it on to our original customers, the ones that wanted to join. We got hauled into court because the state said we were cutting and wrapping our own cheese. So we had to, this was a year later, right, a year later. No, it's 6 months after the original court date. But it was almost a year after the embargo date, 10 months after the embargo date. Because we were trying to stay in business. We were trying to do something to stay in business and trying to get a good, what we consider a good, healthy cheese to people who are already buying from us. We got hauled into court. We had to show where we were getting the cheese from. We had to show the records of where we sold it. So we redacted the name and addresses of people that it was shipped to and phone numbers, because without their permission, since it's a private association, we don't have the right to give that out. We don't have the right to get that information out without their permission.
Mm-hmm.
We got hauled into court, and when they went before the judge, we did prove where we were getting it from. We proved where it was being sold. But the attorney general's attorney said, assistant attorney said, Your Honor, we need the names and addresses and phone numbers of people that are selling it to. Well, it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of America through the NAACP. They don't have the right to those. But and we argued that. The judge and the attorney general's assistant attorney said, Your Honor, we know they're doing something illegal. We just can't find it.
I don't know what they're doing, but it's got to be something. Well, let me ask you, you've got 12 kids. How are your kids doing, and how's your wife doing with now that you've had your life altered for the last 2.5 years?
Well, with 12 children, your life's altered all the time anyway because of the numbers. It's always different, but it has been pretty rough. We've done okay. The children are doing okay. Some of them are somewhat bitter because they were working. We were improving the place. We were cleaning up. We were straightening up. We were getting ready to do an addition to the cheese plant building. And some of them were really involved in it and enjoyed what they were doing. Well, and my wife, I had to go back on the road immediately just to make sure we survived financially. And we were basically the only ones that bit the bullet real hard on what all happened. We're still paying some people off yet.
Right. Well, let me thank you for whatever you're doing and holding the phone together and sharing your story with us and being a good father and trying to help them process. I think that's the hardest part for parents, is we love our kids and we don't mm-hmm. want to see them suffer and learn the wrong lessons about government. But thank you for coming on the show tonight. Thank you for sharing your story and being open and honest. And is there any one last word you want to give the listeners, if you were going to give them one piece of advice?
Yes. contact your representatives and say you've had enough. Tell them you want the truth.
And
not just in our case, and hold them all accountable, not just in what's happening to us, but in all things. Because the truth shall set you free.
Yes, it will. Thank you.
And they cannot handle the light. I can handle the light. And we're still looking for the truth here. And if there is anyone that can help us financially, I would appreciate it. If not, pray and continue forward holding all representatives accountable, state and federal.
This has been another edition of Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis and hope you enjoyed our program. Please join us next week when we offer another infusion of truth, honesty, and solutions that will grow people bigger and shrink government smaller. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.